This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of cabaret with a cast of singers representing divas from back in the day, or a children's theater performance with genies and magic lamps, maybe jazz harp will stir your soul. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
Well, come on, children, let's sing about the goodness of the Lord. Come on,
we walk down memory lane as American Theater Project of New Orleans presents Dryad Street Divas Review, a cabaret-style show that takes a look at the post-World War II New Orleans jazz scene from the touring celebrities' point of view. Joining me now is Artistic Director Ed Bishop. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You are taking us back in time before the advent of the Motown sound with this production, back to the days of what was called the Chitlin Circuit.
The Chitlin Circuit.
What does that term mean?
During the time of Jim Crow, we did not have a lot of places to do work, so we had to recreate places. So we went around to every town in the South, in the East, and in the North, and found clubs and created places for people to perform. And it was given the Chitlin Circuit name.
So we're talking about the 1940s and 1950s?
Yes, indeed. Actually, from the right after vaudeville. So we're talking as early as the 20s that we were touring the same circuit throughout the country.
But for this production, you pick up on maybe the latter days?
Ideally, I'm looking at a period around 1957. And that was the end of the Chitlin Circuit as we know it, in terms of jazz, Cab Calloway, Count Basie, Dorothy Dandridge, Lena Horne, and all those. They were on the downswing because of film and a lot of other things. Also, Motown was coming into being at that time. 57 was just the beginning of that sound. And Etta James sort of began to make that transition herself from a very young age. We take that time, that transition, and look at where these women were at that time.
So now this is your brainchild.
Yeah, I got involved with it because I come from a jazz city. I'm not a native New Orleanian, but I've spent so much time in 1970 when I drank the water, so there we go. But I do come from Birmingham, Tuxedo Junction, Carver Theater, those kinds of things. And jazz was very powerful in Birmingham. It was on the Chitlin Circuit. So I got into jazz. As a jazz enthusiast, I decided I wanted to know more about the history of jazz. When I got into it, I found that there were clubs everywhere in New Orleans. And in fact, I learned that we got our name, the Big Easy, from the availability and accessibility of jazz and jamming in New Orleans. So the musicians called it the Big Easy. So I just looked at that history, and there were clubs uptown, downtown, back of town, Storyville and Claiborne Avenue, all of these places. And stars would come in, but it was still a pretty much segregated kind of situation. There was the Blue Room, which is now still in existence at the Roosevelt Hotel, which didn't cater to most of the Chitlin Circuit crew. But that group of people knew about it. There was also Bourbon Street, where it was slightly integrated with Preservation Hall. It was fun to get into it and write something about it. So we wrote a little exposition or introduction to our little cabaret that allows us to get a feel of what these women really were about if they were out on the circuit and just being themselves before they go on the show.
So tell us the storyline and how it happened to come about on Dryad Street.
Oh, okay. A guy had a club on Dry Street. He really searched all over and would bring the talents. Most people, you had to go to the talent and say, can you come to New Orleans? And so he got around and developed his club, and it was a pretty popular club on Dry Street or in that area. Now, at this time, the club is about to close, and he's very happy about that, his experience with the club, but disappointed that he didn't have his ideal diva team to show up. So We go back, go inside of his head, and all of a sudden that team appears. We have Mahalia Jackson when she was fast and sassy. We got Billie Holiday on a good day. We got Anita O'Day to put in a little color. And we have Etta Fitzgerald make it a little challenging for the ladies who are already in the career. Now, Anita O'Day is a jazz artist who was not African-American. She was a great jazz artist as well, but she was a renegade. She ran with people on the Chitlin Circuit. She got to know jazz very well, and she was committed to it all of her life. She's known for some fabulous songs, including Peel Me a Grape. And a lot of people know that song to be her signature. She gets in the middle of it, and we realize what Jim Crow did as opposed to what jazz did. Jazz integrated. Jazz artists went beyond Jim Crow just to make sure that it stayed alive.
Now, you also build this as a musical war for attention among the divas.
Yes, indeed. We find out from reading and from the history of the Chitlin Circuit, there was always a little rivalry just to keep everything exciting. There was an idea called one-upmanship. Comedians like Jackie Moms Mabley would make certain that if it was time to be competitive, she would be at the top of the list. Everybody was a star, and everybody was seemingly afraid of only one person. Lena Horne, you know, she was a film star, and she would get out and do the circuit sometime, but basically if Lena Horne came, it was the show is on and the fight is on. So we found that to be true, and so we sort of put a little of that into this story. Hopefully this story, the beginning of it, will set the tone for what the whole thing is about. It's about that great music of that great era. I got the great cast for you. We got Brittany James, Riga Ruby, Kurt Busch, Celetta Burke-Manuel, and Iris P. from the hip-hop world, and Molly Zoe, Sonia Parker, and Calvin Fenton. These, all of the actors who are portraying some particular part of the Chitlin Circuit concept. You know, but they're powerhouse singers who also are interested in acting. And we sort of worked through that to get them to see both sides of the coin.
Earlier, we were talking about a certain story that happens within the production, and it was in the dressing room.
Oh, yeah. Now, and you know, most of the Chitlin Circuit, most of the back room areas were not our traditional dressing rooms as we in the industry get to experience them. So usually one room was set aside for the star. This is an interesting story that we set up. These five divas have come, and they don't know who's headlining the show. They don't know who's going to be the star, but there is a star dressing room, and it's locked. And none of them can get into it. And finally, a mystery person comes in. And we're trying to figure out who that is. So that opens up the war. We got to find out who that diva is. She was late for her sound check. So that's the fun part of it.
It sounds like fun.
This time I really wanted to focus on New Orleans. And I really wanted to turn the tables inward on ourselves as artists in New Orleans and to look at and allow us to edify our background as artists in this city. We want people to come away with this saying, oh, I remember that club, or I remember seeing Etta James, those kinds of things, to reignite that history. I hope we walk away with that.
And what are some of the tunes we're likely to
come along to? At last it's going to be there somewhere. Summertime, Good Morning Heartache, Peel Me a Grape, and I Don't Care. And some people will know each one of these songs that I just said, mentioned, you know. And that's not too long ago. My father played them, and I remember them.
Ed Bishop, Artistic Director with the American Theater Project of New Orleans. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
Dryad Street Divas Review, a cabaret, opens this weekend with performances running through July 6th at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. Bejeweled me,
either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. A Middle Eastern folk tale from the book of 1001 Nights comes alive for kids of all ages as Rivertown Theaters in Kenner presents The Patchwork Players, Aladdin. This interactive, family-friendly production boasts a cast of zany actors ready for a magical summer of fun. Joining me now is Patchwork Players Artistic Director Jessica Potewell. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us about this journey with genies and magic oil lamps. What's on tap?
Oh, this is the original Aladdin. It's a lot of fun. My father took it from the original Scheherazade story itself. It's pure patchwork in the sense that we still get kids out of the audience to play, you know, Tootles the monkey, Aladdin's best friend, or kids to help with various parts of storytelling. They get up and pretend to be monkeys and stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's sort of the original Aladdin. It's a lot of fun.
Now, that's one big part of the Patchwork Players, the interactive aspect with kids. Tell me, how do you involve the kids in the production?
Any way that we can. For example, if we do Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, we pick six kids out of the audience to play the different dwarves, and then we've got one actor that plays Dopey. Or if we do Hansel and Gretel, we get any kid that wants to get up and play the hungry birds, and they run around and eat the breadcrumbs. It's the cutest thing you'll ever see in the history of the whole entire world. Or they get up and make noise to wake Aladdin up, just anything to get the kids in the story.
So remind us of the storyline and tell us who's in this cast. Who are the Patchwork Players?
The story of Aladdin, which Aladdin has an oil lamp that his father gave him a long time ago. His father has since passed, and he has kept the oil lamp at a cave. This evil magician comes and wants the lamp, and there's a struggle, and then finally the magician gets the oil lamp, and he has the genie, but it all works out in the end. And then the cast this year, we've got a really great group. Gary Rucker, who has been with Patchwork for a really, really, really long time. The wonderful Greg Stratton is still playing banjo. We've got Chrissy Garrett, Shelley Johnson, Mike Harkins, and Joe Siebert. So it's a great group.
Yeah. Sadly, we lost your dad last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Buzz Potewell.
Yep.
He was the brainchild behind the Patchwork Players, theater director over at Tulane.
Yep.
And you have taken over the reins, continuing in his footsteps. Tell us about your vision for the Patchwork Players and about the move to Kenner's Rivertown.
The move has been really, really, really great. I haven't really changed all that much, to be totally honest. I think Patchwork is one of those things that if it goes askew, it just sort of isn't right anymore. You gotta have to know Buzzy and his sense of humor and what he wanted for the kids, which, you know, if it's off, it's off. But it's been a really great move to Kenner. Rivertown is a great space. There's tons of parking, which is always nice and a welcome change. And it's in a theater. You know, we were at the chapel on Tulane campus, which was a wonderful space. But now we have lights, and it's really this sort of wonderful theatrical experience now. It's great.
And your vision for the future of the Patchwork Players?
We're just chugging along. We might have a couple of new scripts written, which is really exciting. But it's just, you know, dusting off that big box and having a great time.
So you're still going to keep that big element of fun?
You better believe it. If it's not fun, why are we doing it? Yeah.
What will kids remember most from this theater experience?
Oh, I have talked to so many now adults over the period of time that have grown up with Patchwork and they love Patchwork. And it really is, for so many kids, the first time that they get to see a play. And to have a play that you don't have to be quiet for and sit and it's not intimidating, that it really is open and wonderful and meant for kids and adults too. You will have a great time at Patchwork Players. If there's one thing that will happen, you will laugh and enjoy yourself.
How does it prepare them for the future?
Well, I think it teaches you that no matter what, to kind of go along and sing your song and keep your head up and have a good time no matter what.
Jessica Potewell, Artistic Director of the Patchwork Players. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Diane.
The Rivertown Theaters, located at 325 Minor Street in Kenner, presents The Patchwork Players, Aladdin, with performances running now through June 28th. The American Harp Society continues its national conference in New Orleans, celebrating the diversity of the harp community. Musicians will get a workout tonight in jazz performances where their heavenly instruments will swing. Joining me now to talk about the event are jazz harpist Patrice Fisher and Felice Pomerantz. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Tonight is a big jazz harp night for your convention. Set the stage for us.
Well, we were trying to recreate the atmosphere of Frenchman Street, where there are, you know, numerous jazz clubs right next to each other, and you can just wander from one to the next. And so we'll have 8 performances by world-renowned jazz harpists set in 3 different locations, staggered like the Jazz Fest, so you can just wander from one to the other, and we'll be having a nice selection of New Orleans food as well.
This is going to be in the Astrocrown Plaza Hotel?
Yes.
So we're wandering from room to room with jazz harps?
Yes. We also have a huge exhibit hall in the Grand Ballroom, which will be open till midnight. And so with the exhibits, like hundreds, literally hundreds of harps that you can look at, you can also hear Felice, myself, Risa Printa, Park Stickney, Motashi Kosako, and Morikeba Kuyata.
Wow. Now tell me, how is it that we don't hear so much about the harp being used in jazz?
It's a dilemma and something that we're trying to overcome. I teach at Berklee College in Boston, and I started the harp program there 12 years ago. And we now have 11 harpists who play jazz, Celtic, rock, all kinds of non-traditional music on the harp. So it's something that we harpists see the harp in different settings all the time, but we're hoping that you will see it much, much more.
So how will you connect with local audiences, and what will you perform?
We're trying to showcase the harp in different settings. So there'll be people playing Latin jazz, people playing straight ahead swing, people playing kind of a rock twist to it. It's nice. And the people that have been invited on the committee from the New Orleans group of harpists have been really, really terrific about inviting such a diverse and wonderful group. So you'll find a Baskin-Robbins, more than 32 flavors of harp music being played in non-traditional ways.
And tell us about your experiences and how you came to play jazz harp. Let's start with you, Patrice. I believe you cut your teeth on Frenchman Street.
Yes. When I was in college, I was studying Baroque music, and I fell in love with this bass player, Ramsey McLean, and he was a composer, too, and he got me to play in this band called Music of the Spheres, and it was all just free jazz, and I spent many long nights on Frenchman Street, and I learned much more there than at school.
Yeah. And Felice, what about you?
I'm a classically trained harpist. I was doing orchestral work and chamber music and solo classical, but I started playing a lot of engagements up in Boston. I started a company called the Gilded Harps, so we do music for events. And the flute player with whom I was playing, and still play today, was an amazing improviser. I was so excited to hear him play anything and improvise rings around what was originally printed. So I said, I have to do this. So I went back to school, I got a master's in jazz, and then I started playing with different groups. So now I play with many different groups, but I really like the quartet with which I play, which is harp, sax or flute, acoustic bass, and drums. It is so much fun, and the freedom of improvising is incredible. It's so rewarding, and it also makes, I think, your classical playing a little bit better, because you analyze chords better and you look at the harmony and you look at the form, and it's just so much fun. I can't even tell you how much fun it is to sit behind the harp and hear these great musicians improvise around you. It's just so much fun.
Speaking of which, you brought in your latest CD. Is there a favorite cut on here?
I think your listeners might enjoy Captive in Paradise.
Tell us about this particular song. You wrote this.
There are many songs that I've written, and tonight I'll be playing a lot of my own compositions. Captive in Paradise is actually a funny story, if I may share it with you briefly. Once on vacation, we were in the Virgin Islands, and we got to the airport, and they had canceled our flight. My husband was very upset because he had to get to work. We live in New England, so we're all type A personalities. And all I could think of was, Oh, we're captive in paradise. What a shame. And I had a harp, actually, at the place we were staying. So I went back to the condo, and I wrote Captive in Paradise.
Incredible.
It's a lot of fun.
And Patrice, what about you? You've got a song here that all New Orleanians know.
What a Wonderful World. My husband, Carlos, is a percussionist, and he works with us. 25 years we've been married, and we travel a lot, and we work with musicians in Brazil a lot, and they love What a Wonderful World there. So we played it in a Brazilian rhythm called Taiera, and also in samba, and they wrote Portuguese words to it.
Assim que te vi, oh, New Orleans, tocando jazz, fiquei feliz e pensando pra mim, maravilhoso é o mundo.
But it's still undeniably What a Wonderful World.
What are you hoping audiences will take away from this experience?
I think that it'll be refreshing for them, because how many times have we heard, haven't we, Patrice, I don't want to go to a harp concert. That's so boring. So we try to spin the harp in new and different ways, because the beautiful sounds of the harp, they're just more than angelic. They can be a percussive instrument. They can be a lyrical instrument. So it's nice to showcase the harp in different ways, especially in a setting that's non-traditional, because then people will want to hear it more, which is the object of our game.
I had many people tell me, you can't do that. You know, harp doesn't fit in jazz. And I used to say, well, I can't play in a marching band because I can't march, but I played in the second line last night with a marching harp. And where there's a will, there's a way. And I just want people to take away the feeling of how much fun that we're having playing this music, and how many different ways there are to interpret it from your heart.
Harpist Patrice Fisher and Felice Pomerantz, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Fisher and Pomerantz will be performing with their groups and other jazz harpists tonight in concert at the Astor Crown Plaza Hotel, 739 Canal Street. Performances run from 6:30 until midnight. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.